who the King of Glory is. The Lord of hosts, well, he is the King of Glory. I want to preach to you from the next few moments from a message titled, Heads Up. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for this divine appointment, this moment you have set aside to speak to our hearts, to do something transformative in our lives, to bring us to a place of clarity, to give us direction, correction. Father, do all that you purpose today. I'm just a vessel. Use me as you see fit. My selfish prayer request is that somebody will be changed today. That somebody will be healed. Somebody will be set free. Somebody will hear the words that will not only inspire or encourage, but words that will empower. Words that will stay with them. Words that will keep them. Words that will strengthen them. I bind every spirit except the Holy Spirit. And I say, Father, have your way. This is your house. We are your people. And we'll give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name, if you agree, shout amen. Amen. Come on, turn to your neighbor, smile as bright as you can, show them everything God has blessed you with, gold TFAR included, and say, heads up. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I am enthralled in this particular text for a number of reasons. Oftentimes, when you read the Psalms, it is hard to decipher when and where they were written and why, most importantly. But in this particular psalm, you can almost figure out where David's mind was when he was writing it down. It starts off by suggesting that God is sovereign. In other words, if you're going to accomplish anything for him, and if he's going to accomplish anything through you, you have to reconcile in your mind that God is sovereign. Sovereign means that God can pretty much do whatever it is he wants to do. And when you begin to understand the sovereignty of God, you begin to understand that it is he that made us and not we ourselves. It allows you to be open to who he created you to be and to do the messy work of facing your own truths about who you're choosing to be. See, that's who God created you to be, and then there's who you're choosing to be. And until you can face down who you're choosing to be and give into who God created you to be, then you will always be fighting your own indifference. Indifference is a greater enemy than fear. Indifference says that it doesn't matter. It allows you to be apathetic about your future. It says, I've messed up so many times that it's really not for me. It says, I'm too broken for God to use me in a way that's going to bless others. I'm too bruised for it to even matter anymore. And as a matter of fact, if I hope, it's going to hurt to even hope because I've been so busy hiding and not wanting to be healed that I don't have the capacity to hope like that anymore. So when I come to church, I just come to sedate myself for a little while because it helps with the pain and it anesthetizes the pain so that I don't really have to deal with my truth. Because if I ever really face my truth, then I might just actually run the risk of becoming free. You have to understand that in order for you to give into the sovereignty of God, you're going to have to face your truth. Jesus took this thing on by facing his truth and letting his opponents know that his testimony was valid. He said in John 8, he says, listen, I know that I'm sent by my Father. And they asked him a question, who is your Father? Why? Because the opposition will always question your identity to try to get you to give in to the fact that you don't know who you are. And the one thing Jesus did was not allow the opposition to make his testimony invalid. He knew exactly who he was, and he knew exactly what he came to do. And so he says, listen, I'm not going to be an opponent to my own dream. I'm not going to be an opponent to my own assignment. I know the truth, and I need you to know the truth. And so he told the believers, he said in John 8, to the believers, after he got finished dealing with the naysayers, he said to the believers who believe me, you are my disciples indeed. And if you believe me, you shall know the truth. And the truth that you know shall make you free. What was he saying? He was saying that you're going to have to confront your own indifference. You can't sit in between who you are choosing to be and who I created you to be. At some moment, you're going to have to make a decision that you're going to step into who I created you to be and stop wrestling with what you're trying to choose to be, and know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, that I deposited a treasure down on the inside of you, and it's glorious. And yes, I allowed you to be broken, and yes, I allowed you to be bruised, because that's how I get the glory out of your life. So you don't have to hide the bruises, and you don't have to hide the bad times, and you don't have to hide the flaws, and you don't have to run from your story. You can own and embrace your testimony, because in your testimony, there is power. The last time I checked, my Bible said, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I dare you to touch three people on your row right now and say, I got a story to tell. I got a story to tell. And if you really knew my story, then you would understand my glory. If you really, oh, come on, come on, come on, come on. Who am I talking to? If you knew my story, the church is the greatest place to hide. It's the greatest place to figure out, it's the greatest place to find people who ought to get Oscars and Emmys. Because you act like a Christian. You just don't react like one. Y'all might have to have my car started when I get out of here. We act like Christians, but we don't react like Christians. I come in here, I lift my hands, I act like a Christian. I shout hallelujah, I act like a Christian. I say thank you, Jesus, I act like a Christian. If they hit the right chord, I'm going to dance like a Christian. Y'all ain't say nothing, but when the world is coming after me and I'm facing life, oh, y'all don't want to talk back. I'm not reacting like I got something on the inside of me that says I got power. Touch your neighbor and say you got power. And the power is in your story. The power is in your testimony. That, yeah, I was broken, but the break didn't mess me up. I'm still blessed and broken at the same time. Yes, I was molested, but I'm still here, and I'm not a victim. I'm a victor anyway. Yes, I was broke, but God brought me out of that situation. Yes, I was addicted, but the Lord changed my life. Yes, oh, somebody shout, there's power in my story. So what? I went through it. It wasn't my choice. It just happened to me. And I figured out why it happened to me. Because the enemy found out I had power. And he knew if I ever got free, oh, that somebody was going to hear my story and it was going to set somebody else. We overcome by the word of our testimony. So my first point, your testimony is valid. Your testimony is valid. Who you are is validated in the fact of who God is. He's sovereign. And the Bible says promotion comes from the Lord. Ah, oh, God. So you were sovereignly selected. You were handpicked by God. He selected you sovereignly. He did it before the foundations of the world were made. Oh God, before you were formed in the womb of your mother, he knew you and had a purpose and plan to bring you to an expected end. Ah, God, that's why he knew that the things that would happen to you in life would not break you completely, but it would build you, God, because he will never place on you more than you can handle. Who am I preaching to up in here? Do not convince yourself that your testimony is not valid. It's amazing to me that we'll oppose our own destinies and our own dreams. You're going to have enough opponents to it. You don't need to become one of them. Disputing who God says you are because you can't see it. Because God declares the end from the beginning. So he calls you what you are, not what you're choosing to be. I know you're Simon, but your name is Peter. I know you're Abram, but I'm going to put Ham on it. No, y'all don't want to talk back to me. I'm going to add something to your name. I'm going to change your perspective to who you think you are. I'm going to show you who you really are. I know they call you Simon Flaky, but you're really a rock. So whenever you find yourself not looking like who God said you are, it's in there. Oh, I'm going to say that again. Like what God said you are, it's already in there because it's baked in the cake. Oh, so you don't have to become it. You're already it. Oh, God, Lord, have mercy. We, Lord, are trying to become something that we already are. And so, David, let's get to the text. David, as I drop my first point, your testimony is valid. Look at your name and say, your testimony is valid. I'm going to put a pin in that because I'm coming back to that one right there. Your testimony is valid. And when your testimony is valid, this is when you give yourself the permission to reposition yourself. You have to realize God placed you where he wanted you. Oh, God. And he's working on getting you to where he wants you to be. Why? Because there's power in your testimony. There's some people he's after and he wants to use you to get to them. Okay, y'all want to talk back to me? Why bless you? Why heal you? Why set you free? Oh, Lord have mercy. Because in doing so, it brings him glory. Glory is not always getting to the destination. Glory is the process by which you get to the destination. It is the fact that you had to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It is the fact that you had to go through the chaos to get to the cosmos. It is the fact that you had to go through the rough road and the hard pathway full of obstacles and dark places. Look at your name and say, don't be afraid to keep walking in the dark. Go ahead. It's the only way you're going to get to the next morning anyway. It is how God gets glory. It is when you meet somebody on the other side of that dark place and they say, I'm in a dark place, and you say to them, I just came through it. God, I just came through it. And what you got to understand, you're not at the end, you're at the exit. Y'all ain't said nothing. And I'm here to tell you that there is an exit. There is a way out. Because if God did it for me, he certainly can do it for you. Because God is no, come on, who am I talking to? So your testimony is valid. And when your testimony is valid, it opens you up to the sovereignty of God. It empowers you. It empowers you to understand that you're sovereignly selected. It takes away the mind games that you play with yourself. That when you say, I'm not good enough, I'm not qualified, when you think you are an imposter and you have imposter syndrome, when you're sitting around at your office or in your cubicle saying, if they ever find out who I really am, they ain't gonna give me this job. You sitting in church right now talking about if a pastor knew who I really was or what I did last night, he would not be talking to me. I'm talking smack directly to you. I don't care what you did last night. I'm trying to tell you who God said you are. And if God cares about you that much, y'all ain't said nothing that he's ever chasing you down, hunting you down, looking for you, never leaving you. If he said, if you chose to make your bed in hell, he'll come down there and make your bed for you and pick you up and say, let's get up out of this place. That's the type of God that we serve. You're sovereignly selected. God has selected you by choice. He selected you sovereignly and said, I can use you. And you're saying, but I'm broken. He said, that's good. And you're saying, I'm not qualified. He said, well, that's even better. And you're saying, but they talking about me. He said, oh, you got free PR. Y'all ain't said nothing. Oh, come on, somebody. He's using all that as opportunity. You're using all of that as obstacles. And God is saying, no, I want to use that broken part. I want to use that messed up individual. I want to use that crackpot. I want to use that person that people say they ain't never going to be nothing. Because when I get finished doing what I'm going to do in their life and that person realizes it was me, they're going to say it is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous. Oh, I hear your Holy Ghost. Just touch your neighbor. If you're watching online, just shout this out. Touch your neighbor and say, what God is about to do next is going to have his fingerprints all over it. Now, God, you ain't going to be able to get away from what God is about to do next in your life. You're going to have to run around and say, I don't know how it happened, but God. Oh, somebody shout, but God, but God. But God, good God, I was about to lose my job, but God, I was about to get divorced, but God, I was turned down 5 times, but I got to get out of this thing. I got to get it. It's hyperbolic. It's God doing something that cannot be explained, something that's over-exaggerated. And the only way that you can experience those type of things is to reconcile who God said you are and stop messing around with what you're trying to choose to be. Stop playing around with your destiny by saying that's not for me anymore because you think you're out of time and you think you're unqualified because you messed up 27 times. But don't you know we serve the God of the 28th chance and the 29th chance and the 30th chance and the 1,000th chance. He said, I'll never leave you. Nor forsake you. I'll be with you to the very end. David is wrestling with the fact of sovereignty. And the reason he's wrestling with sovereignty is because he's just experienced something chaotic and catastrophic to his life. He captures the Ark of the Covenant, which is the embodiment of God's glory. It was the thing that got them victory. It was the tool by which God would deliver glory, his Shekinah, visible presence to his people. It was compartmentalized in the tent of meetings or the tabernacle that Moses built. And David wants to bring the Ark of the Covenant because David is going to build his temple. And he has in his heart a vision to build a better temple. And so he has to have this glory to do it. That means whatever you're about to build has got to be built with glory in mind, because if it's not going to give God glory, then what you're building it for? Y'all don't want to talk to, if your marriage is not going to get God glory, why are you sticking it out? Y'all ain't said nothing. God, if your business is not going to give God glory, why are you laboring? Come on here, somebody. So whatever it is you're going to build, you got to have glory at the center of it, that God, I want you to get the glory out of this. When people see this in my life, I want them to see you. When they see this blessing on my life, I want them to know it wasn't just my acumen. It wasn't just my hard work. It was because mercy climbed up the mountain and truth on the other side. And when it met me at the top, mercy kissed truth. And it's only because of your mercy and the fact I face the truth that I'm here right now. I got here because of mercy, and I got here because of the truth, because I decided to face down my own indifference and my own apathy and my own proclivity to discount myself and disqualify myself because of my past and my past disappointments and the mistakes I made. This is where King David is. He is the king of Israel, and he is in a quandary. The reason he is in a quandary is because when he captured the ark and he got it from the Philistines, they're carrying it back to David. And the Bible says the person that he sent as head in charge of bringing the ark back tries to reach out. One of them tries to reach out and hold the ark from falling off the cart. And when he reaches out to grab the ark, he dies. What kind of foolishness is this? God, I thought you wanted me to bring the glory. And now I'm a spectacle because this thing I've been trying to capture, this thing that was the hallmark of our identity that the enemy has had for too long. And the enemy called us and said, come get your stuff. And we go get it. And we're in a rush to get it back. So we put it on a cart instead of carrying it on the poles. And Uzzah reached out. Uzzah was one of my best warriors. And he reached out to try to fix something that you should want fixed. And you killed him for it? God, I don't understand. Why would you do me like that? Now all of Israel knows that there's something wrong between me and you. Because you would not have allowed that to happen if we were like that. Now I got a death on my hands. How can I explain this to anybody who wants to come and worship you? How can I tell people that their testimony is valid when they tried to fix something that you should want fixed and they die for it? What do I do? I know I'm being melodramatic, but it's good. Just lighten the tension a little bit. How do I handle my darkest moments? It's the question. How do I deal with my toughest defeats? How do I deal with those things that come into my life when I thought God was in my life? And stuff happens that suggests he ain't there. Oh, y'all want to talk back to me? And when we have these issues, we do one or two things. Typically, we run from him. And we dismiss everything he wants for us. And then we decide that we're going to be something else. Ah, God, touch your name and say, you're going to have to reposition yourself. Because when life comes at you, and it begins to test the validity of your testimony, not from outside opposition, but by something that you don't understand about God, that when he acts in a way, God, that's so sovereign and outside of your control, and you're trying to figure out why he did it, because it made you look foolish and it made you feel bad. And it took you down into a dark place that you didn't want to be. And typically he is where you would run to when you go there. But it's him that did it. Oh, Lord Jesus. It was him that shut the door right in your face. When you said, God, I thought you wanted me to go after the promotion. And he says, I don't want you to get it like this. Boom. Oh, God, I thought that was the circle you wanted me to run with. and you find out there was a circle full of backstabbers and users, and he got them out of your life, but you had deep relationships, and he cut the tie, and now you're completely cut off, and now you're isolated, and you're trying to find new circles. Like, God, where are my peeps? Why am I out here by myself? I know I'm talking to somebody, and you're trying to figure out, God, what are you doing? That's where David is. You made me king. You did it in front of my family. I didn't ask for this. I was out in the field. I was working on my little slingshot. I was killing bears and lions. I didn't know I was going to be anointed king. I was just trying to take my brother's lunch. I didn't know that when I got down there, I was going to kill a giant. I didn't know that you were orchestrating all of this sovereignly. I was just trying to do what my daddy asked me to do. And now I'm king, and I'm trying to do what you asked me to do. Then you told me to get this ark, and now it's coming, and Uzzah dies. Uzzah dies. So David has to face his truth. And his truth is he's trying to be a warrior king and not a worshiping king. So that's why he sent Uzzah. Uzzah is a warrior. He didn't send no worshipers to get the ark. He sent fighters. Oh, Lord, have mercy. The reason he sent fighters was because he thought it was a trap. Because when the enemy calls you and says, come get your stuff, it's hard to believe that God fought for you in a way that made your enemy call you and say, I got something that belonged to you. Come get it. So when God does something hyperbolic, it's hard for us to believe that God would do something like that, because we have dismissed what God has for us because it's taking too long. So we start thinking about how far away we are instead of what God said he was going to do, so that when he does it, we are shocked. So our defense system goes up and we start sending out the warriors emotionally and psychologically. Oh, I'm talking to somebody. And God always kills our warriors. Oh, glory to God. And he will render you defenseless. Oh, this is good. You got a warrior in there. Fear is your greatest warrior. Fear knows how to fight everything God wants to do in your life. God, but the greatest warrior, the general of your army, is indifference. Indifference is the general, because indifference says it don't matter. It's all about me. My battle strategy, my battle plan is impervious to anything that's going to come my way. And when I've made up my mind that this is the way it's going to be, then this is the way it's going to be. So if that causes me to have to be indifferent and apathetic to anything God said he's going to do, I will do that so that I don't run the risk of being disappointed again, because I've been down that road and I don't have the capacity to be disappointed one more time. I don't want to hear what God is about to do, so I'll serve God on my terms. I'll have him my way. I'll believe what I choose to believe, and I will not give into the sovereignty of God and let him do whatever he wants to do with my life. Indifference is the general of your battle plan. It sits there and it convinces you that this is a good strategy, that you can go after what God said while still choosing to be who you want to be. Indifference allows you to believe without intending to obey. I'm gonna say it again because I messed it up. Indifference allows you to believe without intending to obey. So I believe God. So when God says, do this, like, yeah, no. That don't work for me. That don't work for my schedule. That don't work for my timeline. God, I believe you. Okay, forgive them. No, see, what they did to me, you don't understand how they, you don't know what they did. Okay, I forgive them. All right, I forgive. Okay. And you do little crazy stuff, like just walk up on people who don't even know that you're mad with them, and you just walk up on them and talk about, I forgive you. And
the person sitting there like, what you talking about? Indifference is your general. Fear is your captain. And unbelief is your foot soldiers. So you send your unbelief everywhere to fight on your behalf. Oh, God, this is what's happening to David. He sends out Uzzah. He sends out the warriors. He says, you know what? This is a trap. This is a trick. No, it can't happen. It can't be this easy. God, no, I've had to fight for so long. I've had to struggle for so long. It can't be this easy. I've been through too many battles. It's been so hard. I've been fought tooth and nail. I've been perplexed. I've been forsaken. I felt that way anyway. And I felt like God is not there. And now I've decided to live life on my own terms. I'll have a little bit of God. I'll have a little bit of this. I'll give me a glass of wine. I'll burn some sage. Y'all ain't saying nothing. And I'll do spirituality that way. And when I feel like going to church, I'll go to church because I just like the music. Y'all ain't said nothing. And the preacher's okay. And I'll experience that way. And I've decided that this is how I'm going to live my life. But there's a problem because God is still sovereign. So now David is alone in his palace trying to figure out what in the world he going to do. And so he sits there and he has the guts to ask the question, what's going on with the guy that is holding the ark? Because the ark carries the glory. And some time has passed. Not months, years. Years of indifference. Years of fear. Years of unbelief. I'm in my kingdom with no glory. And it's a frightening thing to get to where God wanted you to be without glory. Oh, God. Ain't nobody talking about it. Ain't no change happening. You just got the position. You just got the title, Bishop. Ain't no overseeing being done. But you got the title. It's a frightening thing to get there with no glory. And that's where David is. And so David decides, wait a second. I got to reposition myself. I got to get a different perspective on this thing. I got to get a grip. I got to face my own indifference. I got to face down the fact that I was the one that sent out the warriors in the first place. When I know the word says send the worshipers. But I didn't trust the worshipers. I trusted the warriors. And so the Bible says that David says, what's going on with this guy Obed-Edom? How is he doing? Because Obed-Edom was a Levite, meaning he was a worshiper. And when he sent out the inquiry, what was going on with Obed-Edom, they came back and said, God is blessing Obed-Edom. Glory is happening all down up in his crib. Everybody healed, everybody blessed, everybody getting set and free. And when he heard the testimony of Obed-Edom, David said, I got to reposition myself and I got to get glory back to my house. Why? Because that testimony is valid. When David saw what God was doing in the life of a guy who didn't have his position, which means that God can do something in my life without your platform. I ain't got to run behind you. Y'all don't want to talk about it. I ain't got to chase you down if God decides to lift me up. Well, slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm about to reposition myself. When he repositioned himself, he goes to hear about Obed-Edom. And when he hears that God is blessing Obed-Edom, he says, listen, I need to get my glory back. And when he decides to get the glory back, he goes and he starts writing God. Because one of the greatest ways to reposition yourself is to have a rewrite of the vision that God gave you in the first place. And he says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. He has established it upon the seas and founded it upon the oceans. In other words, God is sovereign. Whatever he wants to do, I'm okay with it. And because he's sovereign, he sovereignly selected me. So I don't have to dispute my own destiny and my own dream because of past disappointments. I'm going to let God be God, and I'm going to sit over here and give him worship and glory anyway. He starts writing, and when he starts writing, he says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. He has established it upon the seas. And then he begins to ask the question, my God, who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Why? Because he sees the ark coming up, and the ark is going up the hill to the tabernacle. Oh, God, I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. And he can see from the palace, my God, from the city of David, the ark going up the hill. Oh, God, and he's on the other side of the hill. And as he's going up the hill, he's got another hill he's got to go up to meet God at that place of glory. So he says a question, who shall ascend, God have mercy, to the hill of the Lord? And he says, he that has clean hearts, that a clean heart and pure hands, who have not lifted up his soul to vanity or swore deceitfully. He's not saying somebody who was perfect. He's not saying somebody who is holy. He's talking about motive and intent. Intent and action. He's saying, wait a second. I'm not altogether perfect, but I got a pure heart and my hands are clean. Come on, who am I talking to in here? Touch your name and say, you better get to climbing. You ain't got to be altogether perfect, but glory is coming up the other side of the hill, and you got a meeting with. You're too busy trying to be perfect. Perfect is not what God is asking for. God is asking for present. He's asking for obedient. He's asking for willing. Willing beats perfect any day of the week. God will take a willing, Lord have mercy, pure-hearted individual who had no malice of intent in their heart, but might be frayed and broken and jacked up. And God said, I'll use all of that because I'm not worrying about your mistakes, my God, because I know what you're made of. I know what I put on the inside of you. David is watching the ark come up the hill, and he's asking the question, oh God, I got to reposition myself. And so to reposition himself, watch me now, he doesn't try to repair himself. Instead, he chooses to come out of hiding to get his healing. He's been hiding in the palace, and he's been hiding behind his royal garb. He's been hiding behind his title and his position. And he decides, you know what? I'm going to ascend to the hill of the Lord because I know my motives are pure. My actions might not always be great, but my motives are pure. And in my actions, there's no ill will. There's no malicious intent. So I just made some mistakes. I sent out the wrong folk. I was relying on the wrong stuff. I was depending on the wrong people. Oh, y'all don't want to talk back to me. But God, I'm not even going to try to repair it myself because you're still trying to come to me anyway. So since you're coming to me, I'm going to come to you. And when I'm going to come to you, I'm going to come bare. I'm going to come true. So I'm going to start taking off all of this royal garb. And I'm going to lay down my royal diadem, and I'm going to cast it to the side and forget about my kingship. And I'm coming as a praiser, and I'm coming as a worshiper. Because that's who I was when you found me. Before I got this position, I was giving you glory. Before I got this job, I was worshiping your name. Before they knew who I was, I knew who you were. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, I'm taking it all off. I'm taking it off. I'm taking off my fear. I'm taking off my indifference. I'm taking off my worry. And I'm getting back to praising and worshiping my God. David strips. Somebody shout strip. And that strip was him not repaying himself,
but him revealing himself. So stop trying to repair yourself. Just reveal yourself. You're going to have to show people who you really are if you're going to have glory. Because glory doesn't hide you. It exposes you. Oh, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And so he says these words. He says, I've reconciled who can ascend into the hill of the Lord. You got to have clean hands and a pure heart, meaning motive and intent, action and intent. Your actions and your intents got to be pure. You might make some mistakes, but that's not because you don't have good actions or good intent. It just means you messed up. And stop letting your mess ups trip you up to the point where you run away from all that God said that you can be and all that God wants to do in your life. Look at your name and say, so what, you messed up? I messed up too. As a matter of fact, you can look down this row, sitting home on your couch as a bunch of mess ups. Y'all ain't said nothing. But the last time I checked, God does some miraculous things with some messed up people. If you know you are a messed up person that God can do a miraculous thing in, I dare you to give God praise right now. Somebody shout, I messed up, but I'm still going up. I'm going up the hill with a worship, and I'm going up the hill with a praise, and I'm going up the hill with a hallelujah. Messed up and all, I'm still going. And as he's going up, he says, I'm gonna go up this hill, and I'm not gonna go up this hill with my head down. I'm gonna go up this hill with my head up. Slap your neighbor and say, heads up, baby. Pick up your head, because when you realize you are a vessel that God is about to work through, you are everlasting door. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the shall come in. Oh God, I wish I had somebody to help me in here. Look at your neighbor and say, I think God is about to come into your life. I think he's about to get all up in your business. I think he's about to get all up in your marriage. I think he's about to get all up in your finances. I think God is about to get all up in your family. The King of Glory is about to come in. Don't you miss it. Pick up your head. And if you start forgetting who the King of Glory is, he reminds you two times. He says, who is the King of Glory? And he says, let me remind myself. He is the Lord of hosts, meaning that God has all of the resources at his disposal, that whatever is trying to stop me from getting to glory, I got a God that can handle it, a God that can become whoever I need him to become, a God that can be whatever I need him to be, the I am that I am. The omnipotent one, the all-present one, the all-powerful one, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the one that can call the angels at my disposal and send down 10,000 angels, and they'll deal with the situation. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, do you know who the King of Glory is? He's the God that I serve. He's the God that I worship. I know him personally. And I can get him to show up at any time, because the Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. And all I got to do to get him to show up is lift up my... We know the story. David dances out of his clothes down to his linen ephod, because he says, my testimony is valid. So I got to reposition myself. And to reposition myself, I can't try to repair myself, because it's in exposing me that God gets glory. And as soon as he exposes himself, his wife says, cover up. And David says, lady, I get more
undignified than this. Because you don't know like I know. Y'all don't want to have no church, but I'm just going to have it by myself. You don't know like I know what God has done for me. And I refuse to miss out on what's next. So I take off my indifference and I take off my fear. I fire all my foot soldiers emotionally, psychologically. And I say, God, this all belongs to you. It's your show. It's your thing. However you want to use me, whatever you want to do. And I have to try to stop fixing the things that you're already in. That's why Uzzah died. Because you can't fix what God is already in. He was already in the ark. His glory, his presence. And Uzzah made an assumption that I can fix it. Well, maybe God wanted it to fall. Oh, man. Maybe the fall was going to be the plan. Oh, that just... Maybe the rough road was the way. Oh, why am I getting so much opposition? Well, maybe that's a tactical approach. Maybe that's what God is using to leverage the situation. You'll never know unless you say, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I forgot who the King of Glory was. I started thinking I was the king. Because I had glory, and I know God wants me to have personal glory, but I let my glory outshine his glory. And David got back to worshiping and said, forget all this king stuff. At heart, I'm a worshiper. So I'm done. So history records him not as the king, but as a man after God's own heart. Woo! Yeah. That's how I want to be known. I'll be 45 this year. Yeah, I am young. Praise his name. Say it. Prophesy, lady. I'll be 45. And when you start getting older and that 50 horizon start coming, you really start thinking about the impact of your life. And it was messing with me. You guys know I always share parts of me. It's the way God gets glory. And it was messing with me. I was like, am I having a midlife crisis? I don't have no earrings or nothing. I didn't go out and buy, a sports car. But the impact of your life. Did it matter? Did it count? Did I help somebody? And it started messing me to the point where I started erecting my own little army of indifference and fear and doubt and unbelief. That when God was opening great doors, I was petrified to walk in them. Oh, y'all don't want to talk back to me. Not everybody seeks the limelight, you know. And the reason why I didn't want to go in the door was not because of fear of failure. It was fear of success. Yes, yes. I feared that level of success because, yeah, real talk, new level, new devil. It's not a game. No, it's not a game. I didn't want to be on social media. I didn't want nobody. You ain't got to know my name. I'm good. Leave me alone. I'd have gone down, they trolling me and they doing this and they're coming at me. And I had more people, I had death threats and all types of crazy stuff. And I'm like, God, I'm just trying to preach the gospel. I don't even, what the deal is? Leave me alone. I had this guy on Facebook threatening me because, you know, he got a promotion for the movement. And finally, I almost flipped. I almost did it, but yeah, I didn't do it. But, you know, the, had it not been for the Lord, he's about to get the business because I was about to like, fool, just turn off the notification. But that's the stuff for me personally that stops me from going where God wants me to go. And then I convince myself that it doesn't matter. So I become indifferent to the opportunity. Oh, y'all don't want to talk back to me. And I pawn it off as humility. What it really is disobedience. See, that's me exposing me for glory. I've just been disobedient. Because I have to understand I was sovereignly selected. This is what God wants to purpose in my life. And this is the place where he needs me. This is where he needs my voice. This is where he needs my influence. And if that's where it is, so be it. And when you get to those places, I'm done. There are gatekeepers that are there to tell you, you don't belong here. And sometimes that's even a harder fight, that when God opens a door, you go through the door, but then there's a gate behind the door. And the gatekeeper's like, who are you? What's your credential? Who you know? Where you from? What you do? Blah, blah, blah. Where you come from? How many members you got? Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. And so David said, forget the gatekeepers. You are a gate. Oh, woo, woo. Come on, somebody. Lift up your head. You are a gate. You are everlasting door. So you don't need them to open the gate. You don't need them to open the door. You the gate and the door. You're the vehicle by which God wants to move through. Hallelujah. So heads up. This is a warning message. Heads up. Stop walking around with your head down. Stop walking around talking about it's not for me. Stop walking around disputing your own destiny. Your testimony is valid. Reposition yourself. Stop trying to repair yourself. Let the world see the broken parts and the flaws, because that's how God gets glory. That's how God gets glory. That's how God gets glory. And whenever God lifts you up and he elevates you and he promotes you and he takes you to higher places of influence and platforms, don't let the gatekeepers keep you out. You're your own, you brought your own door. You brought your own door. Come on, lift those hands all over the church. I know this word was for somebody. I believe God gave me this word for somebody. And if that word was for you, let it be an encouragement, but let it be a warning. Heads up. God is doing something and he wants to do it through you. And for once and for all, fire your army. Indifference and fear and doubt and unbelief. Send them all a pink slip today. And say, you can no longer are on assignment to defend my destiny. Hope
defends me. Mercy covers me. Goodness follows me. And most of all, God fights for me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? Father, I thank you for everybody who heard this word. Let it be meat, milk, and bread. Let it encourage, let it strengthen, let it build. Father, I thank you that we cast down our royal diadems. We take off our garb and we leave this place true worshipers that worship you in spirit and in truth, that are not afraid to show what's going on in our lives because our testimonies are valid. Our goal, our intent is so that somebody comes to know your name, so that you get glory out of the situation. So Father, we have reconciled, you are sovereign. You are God and beside you there is none other. And if it requires us to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we're gonna get our walking shoes on because we know that you are with us. Your rod and staff to guide us and comfort us. We know you're gonna bring us out on the other side with our peace intact. We know we're gonna come out on the other side more empowered, more emboldened, because if we made it through that, we're gonna make it through this. Father, we thank you for what you're doing and we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Now may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. May he surround you with a shield and may his favor surround you like a shield and may his precious blood cover you from now to eternity in Jesus' name. If you agree, shout amen. Amen. Come on, hug somebody and say heads up. We'll see you tonight, man.